more.
Glorious day, fellow traveler. Welcome to Science and God with Dr. G. That's me, Dr. Michael Gillen, physicist, astronomer, mathematician, and Christian. That's right, living, breathing evidence that science and Christianity are not mortal enemies, but good friends. Actually, an awesome power couple. Is religion a good thing or a bad thing? You know, I hear that question all the time. I'm sure you do too. But the question is flawed, my friend, for at least three reasons. First, the question is flawed because it doesn't define religion. Remember, you must always define your terms before doing anything else. Otherwise, you risk going round and round in circles like a dog chasing its tail. You don't want to do that. To many people, religion is just a set of rules you need to follow. You know, in the New Testament, the Pharisees claimed to be religious for exactly that reason. On the outside, they made a show of following all kinds of religious regulations, and they were good at it. But on the inside, they lacked compassion, forgiveness, and humility. That's why Jesus gave them such a tongue lashing, saying, quote, "Hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity," end quote. Ouch. For the record, I define religion this way. Religion is a worldview that includes believing in things that cannot be seen, proven, or even imagined. I'll say that again. Listen, for me, religion is a worldview that includes believing in things that cannot be seen, proven, or even imagined. Second, the question is flawed because it implies religion is optional. It isn't. As I define it, religion is hardwired into every one of us. Every one of us has a worldview that includes believing in things that cannot be seen, proven, or even imagined. There are no exceptions to this absolute truth. None. What's more, human religiosity is unique. No other animal on the planet has it. I've explained this in previous journeys and especially in my latest book, Believing is Seeing, so check it out if you haven't already. For now, the point is simple but important. Without humans, religion wouldn't exist. Without religion, humans wouldn't exist. The two are inextricably connected. Third, the question is flawed because it presumes to put religion on trial. But think about it. Given that being religious is tantamount to being human, asking if religion is a good thing or a bad thing is like asking whether being human is a good thing or a bad thing. Let me summarize everything I'm saying this way. By my definition, you are a religious person, period. You believe in things that cannot be seen, proven, or even imagined. That by itself is neither a good thing or a bad thing. It's simply an inescapable part of being human. Therefore, the only two questions that are not flawed are these. A, how well or poorly do you practice your religion? And B, how well or poorly is your religion supported by solid evidence? On this journey, I don't have time to explore how well or poorly each of the world's major religions is supported by solid evidence. I do that in my book, Believing is Seeing, so check it out if you haven't already. For the rest of this journey, therefore, I'm going to explore how well or poorly we practice our religions. Let me start by giving you some examples of what I mean. Number one, Tenzin Gyatso is a Buddhist. Born in 1935 in a rural hamlet in Tibet, he was just 2 years old when he was named the 14th reincarnation of the Dalai Lama. At age 15, he was crowned Tibet's head of state, but had to flee when China moved in and occupied the country. Ever since then, the Dalai Lama has led the movement to liberate Tibet, and in 1989 was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his nonviolent movement. Number two, Mipham Rinpoche is also a Buddhist. Born in 1962 in India, he was declared the divine leader of Shambhala International, one of the largest Buddhist organizations in the Western world. In 2018, Rinpoche was forced to step down because of improper relations with some female members, which he admitted to. At the same time, Shambhala's entire governing council, based in Nova Scotia, resigned, quote, in the interest of beginning a healing process for our community, end quote. Number three, for most of his life, Andrew Carnegie, or Carnegie, was an atheist. Born in 1835 to a working-class family in Scotland, he worked hard, created a steel-making empire, and became one of the richest men in the world. In 1901, he sold his entire steel business for $350 million, the equivalent of billions in today's dollars. After that, Carnegie devoted himself entirely to philanthropy. For the rest of his life, he funded thousands of public libraries, thousands of church organs. That's right, church organs. New York's legendary Carnegie Hall, the Carnegie Institute for Science, Carnegie Mellon University, and the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching, just to name a few. Number four, Joseph Stalin was also an atheist. In 1924, when he became leader of the Soviet Union, he fully embraced the Marxist dogma that, quote, communism begins where atheism begins, end quote. That's a quote from Karl Marx himself. Stalin made students learn atheism in school and launched the so-called godless five-year plan, brutally enforced by the League of Militant Atheists. He systematically and ruthlessly shut down churches, synagogues, and mosques, jailed and outright killed religious leaders, and even replaced the traditional calendar, get this, with a five-day calendar that excluded the Sabbath. Altogether, it's estimated that Stalin's godless regime killed anywhere from 3 to 60 million people. Christians are no exception. Over the centuries, they too have behaved both very godly and very badly. That's why, as a Christian, I realize it's not enough just to call yourself a Christian. You actually have to be one. What exactly does that mean? Well, for starters, it means that you must sincerely believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Messiah, the human incarnation of God. Quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. End quote. Being a Christian also means what Jesus himself says it means. Quote, one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." End quote. You know, as a scientist, I'm fascinated by the hundreds and hundreds of studies showing that when Christians actually practice what Jesus preaches, they reap countless rewards. For example, the Pew Research Center finds that people who are religiously active are much happier than the general population. Ohio State University psychologists found that people who are religiously active live 4 years longer than those who aren't. And scientists at Vanderbilt University and UCLA studied a large, diverse group of people for 18 long years. During that time, people who were religiously active were half as likely to die, half as likely to die than people who weren't religiously active. That's significant. And the rewards aren't just personal. They benefit the whole of society. For instance, scientists at the University of Indiana found that people who are religiously active are twice as generous as those who aren't. Twice. The Pew Research Center finds that worldwide, people who are religiously active are also active civically. They're more likely to volunteer in a non-religious organization, club, or charity. And they're more likely to vote in national elections. On top of all that, Christians, in particular, Christians, have enriched society in countless ways. For example, in education, universities are the invention of medieval Christian Europe. Did you know that? In part, they were inspired by the vast libraries of early Christian monasteries, where monks religiously made copies not only of the Bible, but also ancient secular literature. Starting in the 12th century, Christians practicing what Jesus preaches, founded the world's oldest and to this day most prestigious universities. The University of Bologna, the University of Paris, Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, my own Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and on and on. Early on, university students actually wore robes and shaved the tops of their heads, all to indicate their affiliation with the church. In healthcare, modern public hospitals are also a Christian invention. They were started in the 4th century by Christians practicing what Jesus preaches, who felt a deep commitment to care for the sick, lowly, and broken. By the Middle Ages, Christian public hospitals existed all over Europe. In human rights, during the 19th century, Christians practicing what Jesus preaches were at the forefront of opposing and outright eliminating legalized slavery. They included prominent Christians like William Wilberforce in England and the abolitionists in America. Yale and Princeton historian Robert Roswell Palmer put it this way, quote, "It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of the coming of Christianity. It brought with it an altogether new sense of human life. For the Greeks had shown man his mind, but the Christians showed him his soul. They taught that, in the sight of God, all souls were equal, that every human life was sacrosanct and inviolate." End quote. even in science, my friend. Today's modern scientific method was launched and propelled by 17th century European Christians practicing what Jesus preaches. Towering Christian geniuses like Galileo, Isaac Newton, and Robert Boyle. They saw no conflict whatsoever between science and the Bible. In fact, they saw theology as the queen of the sciences. Yes, that's what they called it. They took to heart the words of Psalm 19:1, quote, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands," end quote. In short, my fellow traveler, they saw the natural world as God's creation. And science, the systematic, rigorous study of God's creation, as a devout form of worship. So then, is religion a good thing or a bad thing? The answer, as we've just seen, depends on you and me and every human being on the planet. It depends on how you behave in the name of your religion. Look, you can call yourself whatever you want. God gives you that sacred choice. When I was young, I called myself a scientific monk, an atheist. Today, after having explored all the world's major religions and then some, I don't just call myself a Christian. I strive to be a Christian. I strive to be a person who genuinely practices what Jesus preaches. A person who takes seriously the words of Jesus in Matthew 7:21, quote, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter," end quote. Those words, my friend, constantly remind me that the difference between actually being a Christian and simply calling myself a Christian is huge. It's quite literally the difference between life and death. Okay, that's it for now. Remember, this podcast is not a lecture series. It's a conversation. So now it's your turn. Comments? Questions? I'm eager to hear from you. There's all kinds of ways you can connect up with me via my social media links in the show notes below. Till next time, I'm still Dr. G saying, I love science. I love God. I also love you, my fellow traveler. Thanks for listening.